So. We're back in the book of Exodus. Why don't you turn to the book of Exodus as they're leaving. Just a quick review. Remember, we've outlined the book of Exodus basically using three D's. God delivers. God has delivered His people out of Egypt, out of bondage. He has delivered them from the Egyptian army. He's delivered them from their enemies in the desert. He's delivering them from thirst. He's delivering them from hunger. And He will deliver them all the way until the promised land. Chapters 1 to 19. God declares. Chapter 20. 20 to 24. God declares. He declares His law to His people. He ratifies His covenant with His people. And God continues to declare from 25 to 40 with the intention of letting them know that He wants to dwell with them. Last time we left off in chapter 24, that was 2 weeks ago, where God and the people of God confirmed the covenant that God declared to Moses when Moses drew near to the thick cloud on the mountain where God was. The words of God declared to Moses on the mountain were written down in a book by Moses, and then Moses read them before the people. And they all committed to obey it. Hebrews 9, verse 18 gives us some insight into how that covenant, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of the law was ratified, and it was inaugurated, it was ratified through the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. Hebrews also goes on to say that there's a new covenant. A new covenant in the blood, not of a lamb, not of a goat, not of a bull. The covenant of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new covenant, a superior covenant. Well, today we begin a short series of three sermons that will cover most of the rest of the book of Exodus, from 24 all the way to 40. Where God will declare that one of the purposes for which the people were delivered was to dwell in their midst. And so we're going to start at the end. So will you go with me to Exodus chapter 40? Exodus chapter 40. And we're going to read a considerable portion of God's holy word this morning in Exodus. We're going to begin with Exodus 40. I'm going to have you remain seated. Follow along with me or follow along on the screen behind me. We're going to break some of the chapters up in sections, but will you listen to me as I read God's holy and inspired word? Exodus 40, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall put it in the ark of the and you shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and you shall screen the ark with the veil, and you shall bring in the table and arrange it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps, and you shall put the golden altar for incense before the ark of the testimony and set up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around, and hang up the screen for the gate of the court. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and consecrate it and all its furniture, so that it may become holy. You shall also anoint the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and consecrate the altar, so that the altar may become most holy. You shall also anoint the basin and its stand, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. And put on Aaron the holy garments, and you shall anoint him and consecrate him, that he may serve me as priest. You shall bring his sons also and put coats on them, and anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may serve me as priest. And their anointing shall admit them to a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. This Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. In the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frame and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark and put the poles on the ark and set the mercy seat above the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the screen and screened the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tent of meeting and on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil and arranged the bread on it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle and set up the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the golden altar in the tent of meeting before the veil and burned fragrant incense on it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put in place the screen for the door of the tabernacle, and he set the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting and offered on it the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing, with which Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they went into the tent of meeting and when they approached the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. This is God's word. Let's pray. This is your most holy word, O God. It stands over us. We don't stand over it. Thank you, Lord, that for this portion of your word, it was written for our instructions, so that through it we might not lose hope. Thank you, Lord, for all the details that you included when you were explaining what this tabernacle, what your house needed to look like to Moses. We thank you, Lord, that you always accomplish what you set out to do. You did indeed dwell in their midst. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will dwell in your midst. What a blessed day that will be. These things we pray and we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us and instruct us this morning using your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God wants to dwell with his people. He wants to dwell in their midst. He has already promised them on several occasions that he was to be their God and they were to be his people. And so he gives Moses very specific, detailed instructions, commandments, regarding the building of his sanctuary, his house, his tent. It was to be different from all other tents that littered the desert there in the Sinai Peninsula. And God instructed Moses over the course of 40 days while Moses was on the side of the mountain. Up to this point in Israel's rather young history, it was only a couple months old, God's presence had led them from afar and up ahead. What was the presence of God? It was seen in a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by the day. And when the people finally got to the first stop, Mount Sinai, they were still to worship God from afar. Remember all the limits set up around the side of the mountain. They were not to draw near to God. Exodus chapter 33, before God erected the tabernacle, the tent of God, the tent of meeting, it tells us how Moses oftentimes met with God on their journey. It tells us that Moses would take a tent and pitch it far outside the encampment. This is Exodus chapter 33. So far outside the encampment, Moses would set up a tent, and once he would enter into the tent, the cloud or the fire would come down over and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the people would see it from afar, and they'd stand at the entrance of their tent and worship God at the door of each and every one of their tents. But God wants to dwell in their midst. He wants the people to be totally aware, ever aware of His holy presence in their midst. He does not want them to become indifferent. He does not want them to be casual about their relationship with God being so near. Everything about this tabernacle, everything about this tent, everything about this sanctuary will scream to us holiness. These are God's instructions. This is God saying to His people, you approach me my way, this is the way that you approach me. And each of the items that we mentioned in Exodus 40 that we've read about, we will see outlined in greater detail in the earlier parts of Exodus, in the remaining chapters. We will, over the course of the next 3 weeks, show you some pictures, some images. None of them were taken, none of them are original. None of us are that old. We might feel like it sometimes, but we're not. We don't have original images. We have artists' renditions of what they anticipate based upon the descriptions in Exodus, what it looked like. But we don't know for sure. And so we'll look at some images. We'll look at the tabernacle, the courtyard, the Holy of Holies, the Holies. And we'll see how the Old Testament describes to us the purposes for those particular items and places within the tabernacle. We'll see that. Scripture tells us in the Old Testament. But we'll also see how they are just mere shadows, all those instruments, all those images that the Old Testament gives us regarding worship of God, they're just mere shadows of a greater reality, and the reality is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep one thing in mind, very, very clear in our mind. We should never read into the descriptions that Moses gives us of the ark and the tabernacle anything that we are not able to read out of the text. So we're not going to come up with some fanciful descriptions and then some weird ideas regarding what it meant. If the Scripture doesn't tell us, we're not going to go there. So what Moses described in Exodus chapter 40, first thing we need to understand that it's a mobile structure. God is taking His people to the Promised Land, and He wants to accompany them on the journey. He will guide them and dwell in their midst. Later on, once they enter into the Promised Land, much later on, a king will want to build a permanent structure. That king was David. And God said to David, no, you're not going to build it. There's too much blood on your hands. Your son Solomon will build it. And so Solomon builds a permanent structure, the temple, patterned after the tabernacle, but in much greater glory. Later on, even in Scripture, God's presence will dwell among His people within a body of flesh and blood. Who would that be? Jesus Christ. John said about Jesus Christ, He tabernacled with us, drawing from the tabernacle the person of Jesus Christ. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, dwelt among His people. Not in a tent, but in a body. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. But then, even after Jesus returns to heaven, God sends the Holy Spirit, the Christ Holy Spirit, to what? And dwell us. And individually, each and every one of us, but also corporately, He indwells the body of Christ, the church. God still dwells with His people. And then eventually, one day, I think I prayed about it, we will dwell with God forever in heaven, in His tabernacle. But we're getting far ahead of ourselves, okay? We're not going to go there quite yet. Right back into Exodus now, as God is giving these instructions regarding, detailed instructions regarding the building of His house, His sanctuary, we see right smack in the middle of it, the people get impatient because Moses is spending way too much time on the side of the mountain, and they disobey God, and they exchange the glory of God, and they worship a golden calf. Remember that? And God says, Moses, get down there. Your people, they're worshiping a golden calf. Moses gets down. He raises up the tablets, I imagine, and he smashes them. God's wrath, he kills many of the Israelites, and he states in Exodus 33 that he will no longer go with them on their journey to the promised land. He says, you'll get there. I'll send you there. I'll send an angel before you, but I'm not going to go with you because if I went with you, I might destroy you along the way because you're such a stiff-necked. Your neck is so stiff that I might just consume you before you get there. But God relents because Moses, their mediator, intercedes to God on their behalf. And so God continues dwelling with them all the way to the promised land in this sanctuary built by Moses. Let's go back to the very beginning now. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 25. And let's see what God has commanded Moses to do. The work that he finished, let's begin examining exactly what God's words were, what God's declaration was to Moses. We're going to start in Exodus 25. We're going to just read the first 9 verses. You can remain seated. I believe it will be projected on the screen again. Exodus 25:1-9. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine twine, linen, goat's hair, tan, ram skins, goat skin, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture, so you shall make it." So, in chapter 24, Moses had come down from the mountain after giving the people the law. God had ratified his covenant with the people through the blood of bulls and goats. But Moses has gone back on the mountain, and he's up there for 40 days. He's in the cloud that covered the mountain. The cloud is filled with His glory, and the appearance of the glory was like a devouring fire in the sight of all the people below. That's what Exodus chapter 24:17 says. And so God begins to speak to Moses on the side of the mountain, and this is the first thing that He says to Moses. These are the instructions that regarding the materials that God will need to make His sanctuary, His tent, His home, His house, His holy abode, His tabernacle. Now let's be clear. God doesn't need any of this. The God who made the heavens and the earth does not need anything. He needs absolutely nothing. Would you agree with me? He could have given them everything they needed. But nonetheless, God wants His people to be a part of the building that God is going to build for His habitation. The text tells us it will be a voluntary, free will offering from the heart to God. They're not given to Moses. They're not given to Aaron. They are given to God. Now you might think that's a little risky, huh? What if they don't give? What if they don't show up? Well, God doesn't leave anything to chance. God is not a risk-taking God. God will provide everything He needs to build His house because He will move in the people's hearts so that they want to give. In fact, He has already provided to the people everything they need. And He provided from the most unlikely of places. Where did they get all this gold and silver and purple and bronze? Where did they get it? Egypt. Do you remember how they plundered the Egyptians a few months earlier? And the Egyptians weren't forced to give it to them. They had no guns at their neck. The Egyptians willingly gave up when the Israelites asked them for their treasures. God so sovereignly superseded, His providence so worked out that the hearts of the Egyptians were glad to give them all of their riches. If God, in His providence, moved godless Egyptians to give up money and power, money and gold and silver and purple from their hearts, don't you think God is capable of doing that in the people, His people, the people that He has redeemed and rescued? Yes, He's perfectly capable of doing that. He has faithfully provided for them for the last 2 months, and they will willingly give to the Lord everything He needs to build His temple. Some of you already know what they will give. And we're going to read that a little later on in the text. But God will, through His people, supply everything that they have been given by the Egyptians. And Moses and the people will follow God's instructions to the T. All according to the pattern. You see that in 25 verse 9? All according to the pattern. And that phrase will repeat itself throughout the rest of the Scripture. We see it again in verse 40 of that same chapter. They make things after the pattern for which is being shown you on the mountain. Go with me to chapter 26, verse 30. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain. Exodus 27, verse 8. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it has been shown you on the mountain, so shall it be made. The author of Hebrews has some more insight. He says in chapter 8, verse 5, they shall serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. So Moses, on the mountain, was shown a pattern of what was to be built, how it was supposed to be built, details. I don't know how it happened. Maybe God gave Moses an iPad up there on the side of the mountain and had all the pictures. I don't know. Could God have done it before Steve Jobs? Or not? Is it Steve Jobs? I don't know. Could he? Yeah, he could have done it. I don't know. Probably not. Maybe he had blueprints. When he came down the mountain, he had blueprints underneath his arm. Everything that God had shown him on the side of the mountain. Maybe angels, because we know angels were present there and giving the law. Maybe angels were doing that, visibly writing out or drawing blueprints. Perhaps Hebrews seems to indicate what Moses saw were replicas of what was in heaven. Perhaps Moses even went up to heaven. I'm speculating here. I mean, we have records of men in the Bible going up to heaven. John, he wrote his Revelation. Remember Paul? He went up. God gave him a thorn in flesh, and then flesh to keep him humble for the things that he had seen in heaven. Perhaps he went to heaven. We don't know. But what we know is that Moses saw the pattern that God wanted him to use as the basis. God so superintended the project that what God wanted in a house, in a tabernacle, is exactly what God got. Not only did God get all that was needed by moving in the hearts of the people to give, the Scripture tells us that He also moved in people's hearts not only to give, but He moved in the heart so that His instructions to Moses were carried out perfectly. God's Holy Spirit indwelt certain men to such a degree that they were enabled, supernaturally enabled, to carry out the pattern that Moses saw there on the side of the mountain. So with that in mind, let's go to Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to read 11 verses in Exodus 31. Why don't you stand up with me during this portion of me reading God's Word. Exodus 31, verses 1 to 11. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have imparted with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamah, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishing of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Let me just read that last phrase once again. "According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." You may be seated. Absolutely nothing that God commanded Moses was out of place. God directed each and every detail. Not only did God direct these particular men that he mentions here, but he directed a bunch of other men and women during this project of building the tabernacle, the sanctuary, the house of God. It took about 9 months. By the time we get to Exodus chapter 40, they're assembling all the things that they had made during the course of those 9 months according to the Spirit of God that indwelt these men and women with all the donations that they got from the people. I'm going to read to you another rather large, long, lengthy text, Exodus chapter 35. Will you go there? Follow along with me on the screen or in your Bibles. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tan ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light with its utensil and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar, the incense with its poles, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense." And each one of these parts we're going to unpack. We're going to see the details. "And the screen for the door, at the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stands." Verse 17. The hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court. The pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the fine work garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons for their service as priest. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all of its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects. Every man dedicated an offering to gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or gold soils, hairs or tanned ram skins or goatskins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work might work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands. And they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and the breastplate and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose hearts moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will to the Lord. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones." Am I in the right place? I'm not. Are "For setting and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Oholiab, the son of Ahishamah of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contributions that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came each from the task that he was doing. And they said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Did God provide? He did. It's His house. Not going to leave it to chance. He will move in the hearts of men and women to give. And then he will move them in such a way that they will be skilled to do everything that he commanded Moses. Just one more text to read. Just gives us an idea of what was given. Exodus chapter 38. Go with me there. Exodus chapter 38. We're going to read from chapter 38. I don't think it's on the screen. 24 to 31. "All the gold that was used for the work and all the construction of the sanctuary, the gold from the offering was 29 talents and 730 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary." You know how many pounds that is? 2,193 pounds of gold. The silver from those of the congregation who were recorded was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, or the shekel of the sanctuary. You know how many pounds that was? 7,545 pounds of silver was given by the people. A beka, a head, that is a half a shekel by the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone who was listed in the records from 20 years old and upward, 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were for casting the base of the sanctuary and the base of the veil, 100 bases for 100 talents, a talent and a base. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid the capital and made fillets for them. The bronze that was offered was 70 talents, 2,400 shekels, or 5,310 pounds. With what she made the basis for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the bronze altar, and the bronze granting for it all the utensils of the altar, the bases around the court, and the bases of the gates of the court, all the pegs of the cabinet, and all the pegs around the court. God got his temple constructed exactly how he wanted, and he got all the materials from the people of God in the desert. God will dwell in their midst. God will become the center of their worship. And we find out later that the 12 tribes gathered around, three on each side of the tabernacle being right at the center. God is the center of their worship. And don't we try to make God, His Son Jesus Christ, the center of our worship today? God has given us more than enough. God has given us everything in Christ Jesus. I can't think of a couple of verses in the New Testament that are better to close with than this. There's one in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where God says, I am sure of this, where Paul says this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God always finishes his work. And God has promised to conform each and every one of us, those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Will it happen? Yes or no? Yes. God will conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Eventually in heaven, and that leads me to the second verse, John chapter 14. You know it? Jesus says, do not be troubled. I am going to my Father's house, where there are many, what? Rooms. And what's Jesus doing right now in His Father's house in heaven? He's preparing a room for you and me. And we will dwell with Him in heaven forever and ever and ever. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more holy place and holy of holy place courtyard. We will be in God's house forever. Will God accomplish that? Yes or no? He will. And for that, we can be eternally grateful. And we will be praising God forever. Will you bow your head with me? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this section of your word. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us with the truths this morning that you do accomplish your work perfectly, just as you have planned. Nothing can thwart your purposes. Not one thing. And you, who began a good work in us, will complete that work too, taking us to heaven to live in your house forever. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Fill our hearts with praise. Let us respond to what you have done to us with hearts full of praise as we sing a couple more songs in worship of your Son, Jesus Christ. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Steve and Jean.